Hi, everybody. Cam Forbes here. Thank you so much for joining us today for my dad's For Mac Forbes service virtually. Diane Collery, who is the minister of Dad's Church in Qualicum Beach, St. Stephen's, is going to preside over the service, and I'll go over to you now, Diane. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Cam, and welcome, everyone. We are going to start our service today in the way we traditionally do here at St. Stephen's, with a few promises from Scripture, and it is my hope that these words might bring you some comfort and some peace today. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." He also said, "Come to me, all you that are weary, and I will give you rest." And in John's gospel, we hear him saying, "So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Good afternoon, everyone. I wish I could see you all. This is a somewhat unique and yet still entirely appropriate way for us to remember Mac together.
And Diane, I'm terribly sorry, Diane, I'm interrupting you a sec. Your screen is actually sideways, just for whatever reason on your phone. I'm not sure. Okay.
Let me see if I can fix it.
For sure. Perfect. Thank you.
Did that do it?
Perfect. That's great. Okay. There you go. Thanks.
Hey. Do you want me to start again? Was that distracting?
No, I think we're fine. Thank you very much.
Okay. Again, welcome to this service. Even though we are spread across the country, I do want to welcome everyone here. Today, we are going to celebrate and give thanks for Mac's life. We're also going to acknowledge the grief that we all feel at his passing and offer some love and some comfort and care to Mac's family, especially to Cam and to Laura. And finally, we will commend Mac to God's loving care as we finish this service today. Here at St. Stephen's, we have a habit of starting our services with a rather traditional greeting, and it would have been a greeting that Mac and Dorothy would have said every Sunday for well over 20 years when they were here. And so it seemed fitting to start our service today with that same greeting. So please let me extend it to you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all today. Will you all join me in prayer? Loving God, you brought us to life and you remind us that death is a natural part of life. We come to this afternoon to celebrate the life of Mac, whom we have known and loved, for some of us as a friend, and for others as family. We give you thanks for the whole range of human experience that was his, for the wonder and the joys and the challenges. Bless us during this time of remembering so that we may share the good stories of his life, comfort his family in their time of loss, and offer that same comfort to one another. We pray all of this in the name of the one who has shown us what compassion is meant to be and who has promised that we will find comfort as we mourn. Amen. This is the point at the service when we get to start our remembering together, and both Laura and Cam have some things to share with us around this. In official services, this would be on your order of service, it would say eulogy. And eulogy is a word that actually just simply means good talk. Part of our purpose today is to engage in some good talk about Mac. And so I want to turn it over now to Laura and then to Cam to get us going on that.
Thank you. My aunt has asked me to read this and Dad's sister. In remembrance to my brother with love, you lived your life and left your mark, that's for sure. On those you've touched and shared your grace, no words can say the heartfelt love we all grieve today. It's hard to fathom you've gone away, yet that's reality, life's day to day. I only wish I could have had a chance to give a hug, a final glance. To you, my brother, I bid adieu. There will never be another you. We will all miss you dearly. Love, Anne. And this is for me. Dad, I don't want to say goodbye, so I'll just say thank you. Thank you for all the things you've given me, love of nature and natural history, and a safe and loving home. You taught me so much, how to change a tire, how to drive, sparing mom the trauma and the floor where her imaginary brake was. You taught me how to be a good sport. All those years of coaching us Saturdays, Sundays, and even Friday nights really paid off. I was really proud of you. You taught me how to use tools and build with wood, how to be a good camper. My earliest memory is you chasing Cam around trying to get cigarette butts out of his mouth because he kept trying to put them in. We left the cleanest sights ever. You taught me right from wrong and what compromise means, how to be fair, navigate government paperwork, and how to tell a good pun from a groaner. You gave me the gift to travel, taking us to Disneyland, Disney World, the best dad ever. Hawaii, skiing in the mountains, and a bunch of wonderful memories from the cabin at the lake. You helped my friends when they needed a safe place. And even if I wasn't a good girl, you still loved me. I can't thank you enough for your example, your time, and your love. Goodbye, Dad. Now, I know how much Dad appreciated the calls and letters near the end, especially with visits being forbidden. I want to thank Dorothy for all she's done to help Dad. She was the biggest reason why he was able to stay home so long. And I know how much he'd miss seeing her regularly. Sad we can't gather in person today to share Mac's stories, but I invite anybody to add their memories at the end. I would love to hear any story that starts with, remember the time when Mac? Over to you, Cam.
Great. Thank you, Laura. What I'm going to do, guys, is I'm going to... share the, if for those of you who came on early, we put together a little bit of a slideshow for Dad. So what I thought that I would do is to just play that slideshow while I give a little bit of a biography of Dad. So for myself, for Laura, obviously, we don't know as much about his life before we were born. And I figure many of you also knew him and obviously loved his company, but may have missed, you know, some of the years when you didn't know him. So I thought I'd do a bit of a biography. So I'm just going to share my screen here and go to the presentation that was at the beginning and just get it going here. And I'll turn on my screen as well here so you can see me. There we go. Okay. Technology, isn't it wonderful? Thanks so much, Laura. Great words. Thank you. Be joining us here today, Laura, myself, and obviously our families. We very much appreciate you being here to remember Dad and to hopefully share a few memories or stories at the end, if you're up to it, which would be great. I am going to tell one story in the biography, which I'll get to. Dad, as you all know, was a great note taker, a great organized note taker, and he started a bit of a biography in 2011, which was very detailed, and I stumbled upon it when I was going through his things. And so one of the stories I will read, I won't read anymore, but I'll read one of the stories. And so the slide presentation is really taking us through from his from being, you know, a child, a baby, through to really being 88 years of age, and I think I've got it going again there. So Dad was born in the United States, actually, and I'm not sure if all of you knew that. He was born in Berkeley, 1932, so August 22nd, 1932. He was there for about 4 years when his parents moved back to Canada, and they moved to Vancouver, and actually settled in West Vancouver is where they settled. And Dad was in West Vancouver, really. He went to grade 1 through 10 in West Vancouver, and obviously lived there with his parents. In 1948, so this is obviously Dad's 16, his father, so my grandfather, Laura and my grandfather, was able to fulfill a lifelong dream of owning his own hardware store. So he was able to get the financing, and his ambition had always been to own his own store, own his own hardware store. So he was able to open one in Oak Bay, which is really a suburb of Victoria, for those of you not from British Columbia. And so when Dad was heading into grade 11, they moved to Oak Bay from West Vancouver. And Dad took his grade 11 and 12 at Oak Bay High. And I think there's a few pictures of a reunion from Oak Bay High that he attended some years ago. So Dad, always an industrious guy, worked for his dad at the store, serving customers after hours during the school year, and also riding his bike around to deliver things to customers. Small deliveries is what Dad said in his notes. I'm not sure how small that would have been. And the store actually was interesting. I didn't know this. The store was called the Magnet Hardware Store. And I know Graham Roberts is on here, and he knows that store well and has sent pictures to me about that store. So on to a bit of the story. I'm going to lay the foundation for the story that Dad wrote out, and you'll get a kick out of it because it's kind of Dad's humor and again, his detailed nature. So during the summers of 1947, 48, and 49, Dad worked as a chain man in British Columbia. And I'm not sure if you all know what a chain man is. I know many of you are from Western Canada, so you probably know. So it's someone who works with the land surveyor, right, to bring out the chain and work with the surveyor. And he worked in the Peace River block in northeastern BC is where he worked. So he was 14 years old when he actually left home for the summers to do this chain man work. And he loved to tell this chain man story. And so the what he wrote and what I found, I'm just going to read in essence what he wrote, and because I can't put it in the same words that he did. But so as I was still 14 years of age when I started in July 1st, 1947, I felt very grown up when I left my home in West Vancouver. I took the Union steamship from Vancouver to Squamish, at that time the southern terminal for the Pacific Great Eastern Railway. I then went by train to Quesnel, which is south of Prince George. At Quesnel, I boarded a Canadian Pacific Airlines Douglas DC-3 aircraft for the flight to Fort St. John. So obviously steamship, train, and plane to get to his destination. For a 14-year-old in that era, it was a great experience to work as a chain man and travel to different parts of the Peace River District. At night, we stayed at the old wood frame hotel at Hudson Hope. I was intrigued by the restroom facility at that hotel. Like all of the country hotels in small towns in Western Canada, the ground floor was occupied by the beer parlor, check-in desk, and the bedrooms were on the second level, so occupied on the second story. First level beer parlor, check-in, second level was the bedrooms. As there was no running water in Hudson Hope at the time, the one and only toilet was like other outdoor biffy, an outdoor biffy, except that this one is at the end of the hall on the second floor of the hotel. So one of the intriguing features was the sound of the user's products, and he has this in quotes, products, falling from the second story to the pot below, ground level below. So I just laughed an awful lot when I read that, and I knew Dad, that was his type of humor. But it just showed it was a meaningful experience in his life being the chain man, and he certainly wrote about it and enjoyed it. So after high school, Dad moved to Edmonton to go to the University of Alberta. This is September 1951, and he took an undergraduate degree in agriculture. He graduated in May 1955 and met my mom at university, Dorothy Lee, at the University of Alberta, and they were married on June 29th, 1957. And then Dad began working. So he graduated May 1, 1951, and he began working for the government of Alberta on May 2, 1951, so the day after graduating. He was in Edmonton for about 6 years and then moved to a position in Lethbridge in 1957 and worked there until 1965, when his career with the government of Alberta brought him back to Edmonton. And of course, Laura came along. She was born in Lethbridge in 1964. And Dad, in this period of time, earned his master's degree. So he earned his master's degree in agrology from Utah State University and graduated in 1965, so a year after Laura was born. And then I came along in 1967. And I'm not exactly sure when he purchased the land for the first cottage, but as Laura mentioned, his love and passion was our cottages at Pigeon Lake. Pigeon Lake, I know those of you from Edmonton know Pigeon Lake, but Pigeon Lake's about an hour drive southwest of Edmonton. And at one point, Mom and Dad owned three different cottages. They rented two of them, and then we would enjoy the weekends and vacation at the waterfront cottage they had on Pigeon Lake. And we had great memories, wonderful memories over those years. And he's got some great pictures, which Laura and I are now able to enjoy of those years at the cottage. So Dad worked for the government of Alberta until 1988, when he retired after really 33 years of service and service to the people of Alberta. And he certainly took pride in serving the people of Alberta, as I think all of you know. Dad has four grandchildren. So Laura has two children, Kate, who's now 30 years old, Nick, who's 27 years old, and Mackenzie, my two girls, Mackenzie, who's 20 years old, and Sydney, who's now 16 years old. And so Mom and Dad retired and they stayed in Edmonton for a little bit of time, but then went and moved to British Columbia to the Parksville area in 1995. So Dad had been retired a bit and they had purchased a piece of land that they wanted to build their dream house on in Parksville. And Dad loved to see the progress of building that home and has a full photo album of the actual progress of that home, which is really neat to go through. One of the things I always found fascinating is Dad never had to use a computer in his work. So he had people to do that when computers came along, but he learned how to use a computer on his own when he was retired in Parksville. Loved email, and it was a way that he kept organized and communicated with people and shared things with everyone. He loved to search the net, and for those of you who know this, and most of you probably do, he loved maps, absolutely loved maps, and absolutely loved the weather. Mom and Dad joined a lot of groups when they moved to Parksville to make sure they fit into the community and gave back. Dad was involved in ProBus, of course, St. Stephen's Church, Men's Club, and he volunteered at a lot of those on, you know, board positions and that sort of thing to help out. Mom and Dad were able to do some traveling. So they traveled, did some lifetime trips to Costa Rica, Southeast Asia, the UK, and their retired life. And they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary in 2007. Mom passed away in 2009, so 2 years after that, July 2009. And it was at that point in time that Laura and I became aware that Dad had a short-term memory issue. So this was 2009. And he ended up, I think all of you know, he had a short-term memory issue. It was a dementia, and they believe it was a vascular dementia. So he lost a lot of his memory at that point, which was quite scary, but it really didn't decline very much for a lot of years later. So a very, very short decline. And as Laura said, he was able to stay in his own home. And he met a new lady, Dorothy, in 2013, who was a wonderful person in his life and a great support for him in his life. From 2011 to 2016, Dad took a lot of trips by himself to Edmonton to visit Laura and family and friends, and also took quite a few trips to me in Toronto, even with his dementia, was able to do that. And throughout his period in Parksville, and Diane will laugh at this, he played golf with a group of guys who were called the Saints and Sinners. And so the Saints, obviously, was the minister at that time was Phil Spencer, and he played with them sometimes. And the other guys were, of course, the Sinners. So Ken Carpenter, Bill Arnold, Gladwin Bartel, they've all predeceased Dad. Dad was the last of that. But actually, Gladwin's brother, Jake, joined them, and Jake is still living. So Dad loved to play golf throughout that period of time with those great friends. And as I said, he lived, you know, safely and securely in his home until really June this year. As Laura said, he lost the ability to walk in about February, and because of COVID, we couldn't get him into long-term care, so he had home care for a period of time, and then was able to get into a long-term care facility in June, and then passed away on August 26th of this year, after his 88th birthday. So it was 4 days after his 88th birthday, and I know some of you were able to talk to him on that day, which was so nice. Dad was a kind and true gentleman. He's always treating others in a manner that he wanted to be treated himself. Thank you again for being a part of our service today. And I'm going to go back to Diane for the rest of the service and stop sharing my screen here. Thank you very much.
Thank Thank you, Cam and Laura, for getting us started remembering, and great memories to share. Really great memories to share. You're going to hear some of them again, I'll warn you. But before we get to my comments, let's turn to the scriptures. I picked a reading today that felt like it was fitting for Mac. It's from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, just six verses, verses 1 through 6. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. This is the word of God. I want to start my comments today by extending the sincere sympathies of this congregation to you, Mac's family, and particularly to you, Cam and Laura, and your families. You have been in our prayers since we heard of your dad's passing, and we will continue to pray for you in the coming weeks. We loved your dad, and we will miss him being amongst us. He was a warm and wonderful part of our life together, and I will always, first thought, think of his face and that lovely smile when I think of him. I can still see him looking up as I looked up from the pulpit, always looking back at me with that gentle smile and encouraging look, and always engaged, even in the early days when I was just learning to preach and things were a little rough at times. Mac was always felt like he was on your side. That was him every Sunday. I'm sure that most of you have heard the old saying that first impressions can be deceiving. It seems to me that Mac was actually the exception that broke that rule, because in the years that I was blessed to know him, I never experienced anything in Mac that contradicted what my first impression of him was. Some of the words we just heard Cam and Laura use to describe their dad: a gentle, kind, humble man who was really a gentleman in the truest sense of the word. That was my first sense of him, and it is an impression that only got confirmed and deepened over the years that I knew him. It's also very much how I suspect all of you knew Mac. Mac and Dorothy became a part of our congregation when they did retire here in the mid-90s, as Cam said, and they have been a part of life around here actually for longer than I've been here. My sense is that they very much enjoyed their life as part of our church family, and I can say without any hesitation that we very much appreciated and enjoyed their participation. There's lots of traditional involvement things they did as part of the church, but you know, by far the first thing that gets mentioned when Mac's name comes up is that group of men, that foursome of the sinners and the saints that he was a part of for so many years. It was actually a group of four fine men who, by all accounts, enjoyed some pretty good times together, I think. And it is a group, I have to tell you, that honestly lives on in the memory of our congregation, even though all four of those men are no longer with us. I think that memory we hold speaks to something very special they had, a deep, fun fellowship with each other that was just real, good friendship. Now, I have to say, full disclosure, that I actually never got to be part of that golf foursome, and I'll leave you to figure out why that might have been. But I did have the distinct pleasure of actually being part of a team Mac served on a short-term mission trip to Mexico to build some homes for families who didn't have them. My husband, Simon, and I actually lead the teams that St. Stephen sends, and we were delighted when Mac decided to join us on our 2010 trip. If you're quick at math, you will have figured out that he was actually 77 years old when he did that trip. And yes, as Cam said, by that point, age was starting to make itself known. But that did not stop Mac from wanting to come and make a difference in the life of a Mexican family. And he certainly did that. He also made a great difference in the lives of our team members, quietly, humbly, and patiently, as only Mac could. Those mission trips, they're often almost always challenging in some way. The days are long, and there's lots of different people involved and personalities, and surprising no one, things don't always go exactly as we plan. And those challenges that come mean that sometimes we are not at our best, any of us. But you know, that really was never the case for Mac on that trip. Throughout the entire 8 days, day in and day out, he was the same kind, gentle, humble man you all knew. He endured long days of hard physical work and then slept at the end of them in a tent on the hard Mexican clay ground. He traveled with 30 other team members, a mixture of adults and teenagers that we take on those trips. And as you know, if you've ever traveled with a group, that brings its own challenges at times. And of course, as will surprise no one here today, he modeled incredible patience as he learned the Mexican way of building, which is different than we do here. And then with that great patience, taught other team members how to build that way as well. You know, we have taken a lot of wonderful people on those trips, but I can honestly stand here today and say without any hesitation that Mac was a dream team member. He never lost sight of our mission. He was always finding ways to put others first. He brought only positive things to our team and to our work. And as a leader, one of the things I appreciated most, and it sounds like a small thing, but it's not, he never complained, ever. His gentle presence really enriched our lives together for those 8 days. And I just hope and pray that in some small way, maybe we were able to do the same for him. It was that experience of Mac on that mission trip that came back to me as I sat considering what scripture reading to pick for us to reflect on together today. It's those memories of him and memories that other people have shared with me, especially in these last few weeks. So that's what drew me to those verses. They're from the Apostle Paul's letter to a young church in the city of Ephesus, a church that was facing its own challenges. Paul loved that church. And so he wrote these words of wisdom to them, things that he hoped would help them, not just to survive their challenges, but to stay together, united in their mission, in the face of them. Interestingly, you heard, he didn't give them a list of things to do. He gave them a list of ways to be with each other. He called them to exemplify some character qualities that he knew were conducive to building a strong sense of community and shared purpose amongst people. And they are the same qualities that you and I have had the privilege of witnessing firsthand, masterfully lived out throughout Mac's life. Paul urged them to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, living with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. As Christians, we believe that these are not simply words written by a man who lived 2,000 years ago, but rather are words that he was inspired by the Spirit of God to write, words that God wants us all to hear and to try to live by, words that can actually help us to live towards a vision of all that life can be. As followers of Jesus, we hear these words and we try to keep them before us as a model. As followers of Jesus here in this congregation at St. Stephen's, we had a little extra help in this because we had a living, breathing example of someone who lived those words out every day, no matter who he was with or what he was doing. We got to have Mac. showing us how to do it. And you got to have Mac. And weren't we all blessed? Because through his life and through his character and his example, we got to see what it looks like when someone consistently and with remarkable integrity actually lives out those wonderful traits. We were blessed. And so as we gather here today, we remember how Mac did beautifully and faithfully exemplify what it actually looks like to live out our call, to be people who embody all of those wonderful things. We also give thanks. Thanks for how his presence so enriched our lives. And most of all, we celebrate with great anticipation that Mac now knows the realization of that one hope Paul spoke of towards the end of that reading. A hope that this life is not all that there is, that there is actually life beyond death. And the hope that Mac now knows that life firsthand, as he himself is held fast in the kind and gentle and loving arms of God. Amen. Will you join me in prayer once again? Gracious God, we thank you for Mac, who was so very dear to those gathered together to remember him today. We thank you for the friendship he gave and for the quiet, peaceful strength he brought to those touched by his life. We thank you for the love he warmly offered throughout his life, and we pray that nothing good in Mac's life would be lost, but that it will remain in ways that benefit others and benefit our world, and that all that was important to Mac, the things he valued, would continue to be treasured by those of us who knew and loved him. We ask that in some way Mac's memory might live on in the hearts and minds of his family and friends, inspiring us to echo some of those wonderful character qualities we experienced in him. Be close to those who were closest to Mac now, God, especially to Mac's sister, Anne, to his great friend and cousin, Graham, to his two beloved children, Laura and Cam, and to their families. Comfort them all with your gentle presence and fill them with the peace and hope we can find in you. We thank you that for Mac, all sickness and sorrow has ended. Death itself is past, and he has entered the home where all your people gather in peace. Keep us all in your grace until at last we may all rejoice together again with the heavenly family, where Jesus Christ reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now I will say our traditional words of commendation. You are immortal, O God, creator of all. We are mortal, formed of the earth, and to the earth we shall return. This you ordained when you created us, saying, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All of us return to the dust, yet even at the grave we make our song, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give rest, O Christ, to your servant Mac, with all your saints, where there is neither pain, nor sorrow, nor sighing, but life everlasting. Amen. Friends, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen. That is the end of the formal part of our service. And now I will turn us back for Cam's leadership.
Thank you very much, Diane. Get my mute off there. So thank you again, everybody, for attending the service today for Dad. There is the ability for you to say a few words if you would like to. On your screen, there's a few different options that you could make me aware of if you wanted to say something. One is you can raise your hand, so not physically raise your hand, obviously, but there's a button for raising your hand. Another, there's a chat screen, which I'll look at and check out to see if you want to write in anything there, just say you'd like to speak in the chat. Or the Q&A section, which is there as well. And what I can do is you won't come on a video or anything. It's just I can allow you to talk so that everybody would hear you. So just so you know the logistics of it. So if anyone would like to say anything, certainly, please do so. And obviously, if we don't have anyone who wants to say anything, we'll just conclude the service. I will say a few words just while people are organizing. I did record this session, so I'll make the link available to you, and I'll send the little PowerPoint presentation just because a lot of the pictures are kind of neat, and I know many of you have been involved in his life during some of those pictures, so nice memories. And I do have Graham here who wants to talk. So hang on a sec here, Graham. You're on one sec there for me. And now you're, here we go. Okay. Okay, Graham, I've got you on.
Well, thank you, Cam, and everybody.
Just a minute.
And for putting this together in honor and respect to my dear cousin and my dear, dear friend, Mac. We've known each other since we were 4 years old, or five years old, I guess. And he came to live with my grandmother and my grandfather where I was living. I think he spent grade one there. So we got to know each other and I became quite jealous of Mac because he was always so polite and never getting into trouble. And I was always the one that got blamed for everything. But he was such a great gentleman. And to typify that, I guess I could give a quick story about the time that he and Dorothy used to come out here to the coast for their holidays. And every time they did, we get a chance to see them. And I always understood that Mac really loved Crown Royal rye. And I didn't particularly like rye. I was a Scotch drinker. And so I would always be sure that if I didn't have a bottle of Crown Royal in the house, and when Mac came, I would always be sure to pour him a Crown Royal, and he graciously drank it with me as I drank my scotch, and we'd have lots of laughs and lots of reminiscences about our early days together and the times we just served when I had a chance to visit him in Alberta a few times because I traveled quite a bit of Western Canada and did have that chance. But one time he came out and I started to pour him a Crown Royal. And he turned to me with that smile and sort of exercise of humility, I guess, if you like, or whatever. And he said, "Graham, could I ask for a scotch?" And I said, "By all means, Mac. I always thought you liked Crown Royal." He said, "No, quite truthfully," he said, "I've never liked rye." Honesty and humility finally got him what he wanted, but it took a heck of a number of years. That was that. That I have many things to say, but I won't say it today. Everybody here knows how well he and I were friends, and he was my brother. And Anne came along later in life. So he and I were basically, we were both products, and we both single child children. And there was a bond there that was better than anyone could ever wish for. Thank you, Cam, so much, and Laura, for putting this together, and all of you. It's been a privilege.
Thank you very much, Graham.
Yeah, thank you, Graham.
I've got in the chat Diane Griffin. Hi, Diane. Excellent mentor Dad was when she worked in the public lands division as the natural areas coordinator. Greatly appreciate that. His teaching helped me advance in my career eventually to being appointed to the Senate of Canada. So Diane, thank you very much for those words. That's very nice. I've got Dave Londy now, who I'll pop up here. Dave, I think you should be able to speak now.
Hi, Cam. I wanted to echo Graham's, first of all, thanks to you and Laura for putting this together. I thought in reading the obituary that appeared in the papers that you really did capture the essence of Mac, and it was well done, the picture and the commentary. I, of course, being a cousin of Mac, I was 10 years younger than Mac, so I didn't know him in his really early years, but I can remember I was a reporter at the Edmonton Journal, and they were in Lethbridge, and I was down on an assignment. I remember going to visit them, and my timing was perfect because I was there, I think, a day or two after Laura had arrived, and they were just delighted when she showed up in their lives. And she and we, I actually helped Mac, believe it or not, putting a crib together, which, and I, given my carpentry skills, is remarkable, actually. And then later, after Jan and I married, we ended up in Edmonton and got to know the whole family. Of course, I knew Dorothy, but we got to know Cam and Laura as well. One interesting story is that Mac had a movie camera, which was quite advanced in those days, and he actually recorded Kent's first steps and sent us a copy.
After hours and hours of looking,
that's right, to find it. And but what is interesting is we have a photograph here of Kent, who is now a captain at WestJet, who flew Mac and Dorothy either down to Toronto to see you or back, I'm not sure which. And there's a great picture of them outside the cockpit door on the plane. And I couldn't help but think it's amazing when you think of those kids that you guys, when you were so little, that Mac and Dorothy would putting their lives in the hands of this little kid who is now a WestJet captain. Anyway, we had wonderful times with Mac and Dorothy, and I'm really glad to have been able to be here today with Jan, who's by my side here to share these memories. And thank you for putting it on.
Thank you very much, Dave. Very nice. I have Liz here. So Liz, I'm going to allow you to talk. I think you can now talk, Liz.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we sure can.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
I am Mac's cousin. I am about 7 years younger than Mac would be, and 8 years younger than Graham. And I have known them all my life. They were almost the cornerstones of my life, and both men, boys that I looked up to. As a matter of fact, I think I wrote that in a letter to you sometime before Mac died, that when I went into nurses training, I had a Mac was very attractive, very, very attractive. And I had a picture of him. You showed it. It's the one of him standing in the wheat field when he was in Guelph, I think, his arms akimbo. And I had that up on my bulletin board all through my time in nurses training and tried to pass him off as a boyfriend, which of course both Mac and Dorothy thought that was quite funny. And Mac, everything everyone has said is so Mac. And I really aspire to be like him as much as possible. We have the same DNA, so there might be a chance, I don't know. As you know, his father had Parkinson's disease. And I remember when Mac had been up visiting my father, John Forbes, when he came back, he noticed that John had the beginnings of Parkinson's disease. And the first thing Mac did was phone me to let me know that he thought that was happening. And of course, John hadn't told me at that time. One of your pictures that you showed today of Mac on the boat in Brentwood Bay, that was John, my dad, with his dog Andy in Brentwood Bay when Mac was a youngster still. Yeah. So Mac and Graham, both very, very important parts of my life. So thank you very much. This was a wonderful service. And I feel very inspired by the words that your minister said as well, Mac's minister said as well. That was lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Liz.
Love to both you and Laura.
Yeah, same to you.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Good. I think that is it for everybody. So with that, I just wanted to once again thank you on behalf of Laura and myself and our families for attending Dad's memorial service. And as I say, I do have a recording here that I can send out, and I'll send that to you as well, Diane, for the congregation. So thank you very much. And I guess thank you and have a great rest of your day. Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye, everybody.